Turn with me this morning to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. Well, we see some not new faces, but some that we've known over the years. And they're visiting with us this morning to worship with us. Betty and Eleanor, our daughter, granddaughters, glad to see you. And we're glad, too, that Katie has made the scene. Get back to Florida, and I believe she's glad to be home. We're glad to have her here. Glad for all of you. I'm glad to be here. The book of Matthew, has to do with the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus. All of you are acquainted with it somewhat. You remember reading about our Lord taking Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain, apart from everybody else and everything else. And there he was transfigured before them. His visage was changed. And it says in this transfiguration that his face did shine as the sun. Must have been some sight, wasn't it? A man whose face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. That was the man, Christ Jesus. And there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. No doubt it was. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Peter said, this is such a fine place. Let's just stay here. Let's just kind of forget about going back down. Up on this high mountain, apart from everybody, apart from the cares of this world, the longings of the flesh and so forth. Let's just stay here. But here's the verse that I want to talk to you about. And while he was speaking, he was interrupted by a voice. And while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The voice said, this is my beloved Son. The voice speaks concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. But yet at the same time, He's God. He's God and man in one person. Isn't that a mystery? That's the greatest mystery in the Bible. How God can become a man. No one can unravel that mystery. That's the mystery of godliness, that God condescended, took upon Himself a robe of human flesh, and was all God and all man in one person. Humanity and deity joined together in one person. This My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I'm well pleased with Him. So, He uses three words here, and that'll be the words of our text. Hear ye Him. Hear ye Him. All right. When our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, when He was transfigured, changed, there came a voice, the Bible says, from the bright overshadowing cloud, saying, "This is My beloved Son, hear ye Him." Now this was the voice of the Father. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is the voice of God the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. "This is My beloved Son, hear ye Him." And the voice of the Father spake concerning His Son. It was a testimony. It was the testimony of the Father concerning the person of His Son. It was a notification of His office. It was an announcement of His authority to teach and to legislate. But now, as it was when these, right after these words were written, but now He's gone up above to His excellent glory. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house, many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." He's gone. He's not here. He doesn't preach and teach in the streets anymore. He's gone to an excellent glory. He's gone to be with the Father who sent Him. He no more teaches in the streets and in the synagogues, yet still as though present with us, He speaks to us. He speaks to us by the written Word, by the Bible, by the Scriptures. His sayings are given to us infallibly. That is, there is no mistakes. There is no error. Everything that He says is absolute, unmitigated, unqualified truth. The words of the Scripture given to us infallibly by these writers, by these apostles, by Matthew, Luke, and Mark, and John. The Apostle Paul speaks by the written Word. These three little words gives rise to four questions. Hear ye Him. Why, what, how, and when. Hear ye him. Why should we hear him? Why should we hear him who is God's Son? Well, it would be a sufficient answer if we had no answer but this. God commands us to hear him. Now that answer would be sufficient if we had no other answer to give, just by saying we're to hear him because Jehovah God has commanded us. We're commanded to hear him. We're not just asked if you are in the right mood or the right frame of mind or if you have time. But he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom, in his person, I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Hear what he's got to say. Oh, listen. Because God himself commands us to hear him is reason enough. These three words comes from the Father. And every true messenger of God, and I say that as delicately and as humbly as I can, and there's not much humility in me. Not much. I wish that I was full of humility. As I think about the office, the sanctification and the setting apart and the calling of God to this great work, and how little that I've contributed to it, it belittles me, it humbles me to say this. Every true messenger from God ought to have our respectable attention. Every true messenger. We ought to give him first place in our hearing, because he's going to tell us something that comes from God. If he has nothing to say concerning God and his Son, let's not hear him. Let's not give him our attention. But if he's got something to say, we owe to him our attention. Now, if we ought to give our attention to a messenger from God as a preacher, how much more when we have the greatest of all messengers? This is not Buddha or Mohammed. They're all dead and gone. They can't speak. This is the messenger of the covenant. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's far greater than all the messengers put together. I said he's the messenger of the covenant. God made a covenant. God agreed upon some things before time ever was. He called it a covenant. It's an agreement. And he made it with himself. He made it with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They made a covenant. God chose a people out of all the peoples of the earth that would be born and ever shall be born. He foreknew them, chose them, set them apart, sanctified them. He chose them in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ agreed to come as a messenger of that covenant and fulfill every stipulation of that covenant. And the Holy Spirit agreed to quicken, to give life to regenerate every one of those that the Father chose and every one of those that Christ died for to redeem. He's the messenger of that covenant. We ought to hear Him because He's a messenger of the covenant. We ought to hear Him because He's the Messiah. The Jewish people are still looking for one. They say that the Lord Jesus Christ was an imposter. That He was not the Messiah. God says He's the Messiah. The Lord Jesus said He's the Messiah. All the prophets said He was the Messiah. And every page of the Bible says He's the Messiah. He is the Messiah. We ought to hear Him because He is the Messiah, which means the sent one. He was sent of God. Now that's one reason why we should hear Him. He was sent of God. He is the apostle and the high priest of our profession. Did not God Himself say, "This is My Son"? That ought to be enough, oughtn't it? Why should we hear Him? God Himself. Think of it. God Himself said in a loud, audible voice, "This is My Son. Hear ye Him." That's the reason why we hear Him. Now, He is the appointed, anointed, and commissioned of the Father to speak to us. Listen to me now. To speak to us. To make known the mind and the will of the Father concerning our reconciliation to God. That's the reason we ought to hear Him. He's going to make us know. Going to make us know. How can God be just and justifier of him that believeth in Jesus? How can God maintain His sacred holiness, sacred righteousness, and yet at the same time save a guilty sinner? How can God do that? How can God be consistent with His justice when His justice says the soul that sinneth shall die? How can God show mercy at the expense of His justice? How can mercy and justice embrace and sweetly kiss one another? He comes to tell us. That's what I mean when I say, according to the Scriptures. There's churches this morning all over the country. They believe in the cross of Christ as much as we do. Maybe more than we do. Why, the Catholics out-Catholic us in believing in the cross, but they don't know what the cross means. See? They don't know what it means. By the grace of God, through the revelation of the Spirit to our souls, He has made us to know what the cross means. That He suffered even unto death, shedding of His blood. By what He did, on the basis of what He did, God can show mercy, because justice is satisfied. It's finished. Justice is satisfied. Listen. He's appointed, anointed, commissioned by God to speak to us, to make known to us the mind and the will of our great and gracious Sovereign God. And it's really treason and blasphemy of the highest order if we refuse to hear Him. Is that right? God Himself said, "This is my Son. Hear ye Him." And if we refuse to hear Him, then we are flying into the face of God. And that's treason and blasphemy. Hear ye Him. Hear ye Him. Does not our Lord Jesus Christ deserve to be heard? He's the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. He's our all in all. If we have Him, we have everything. There's nothing else that we need if we have Him. Does He not deserve to be heard? He who came representatively to live for us, to die for us, suffer and die for us, to be buried for us, to be raised again for us for our justification, to ever live for us, to intercede for us before God the Father. Doesn't He deserve to be heard? I believe He does. Is He not peerless, spotless, and matchless among the princes of eternity? There's no angel or seraphim or cherubim that can compare with Him. He's the chief of 10,000 bright morning stars. He's perfect in wisdom, perfect in motive, undeviating in absolute righteousness and holiness and truth. Who will we turn to if we turn away from Him? Our Lord said to Peter, when He saw the disciples, His followers, trickling off down the road, at the conclusion of the discourse of our Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe before He finished it, I'm not sure. But they started to go back from to where they came from. And our Lord looked to Peter, and He said, "Peter, will ye also go? Will you go with them? Will you be numbered among that crowd?" And He looked into the face of the lovely, dear Savior. And He said, "To whom shall we go? Where else will we turn? To whom shall we turn to if we refused to listen to Him? Who can we find among men or deities so called to give our attention to?" He came, brethren. Listen now. He came because the message that He delivers concerns ourselves. That's why we ought to listen to it. Listen to this scripture. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. His coming and His message concerns you and I. Concerns our present, and it concerns our future. If a man knows not Him, whom to know is life eternal. He's dead while he liveth. That's his present state. A lot of dead people in the world today, and they don't know they're dead. They're dead while they live. It concerns our present. God hath not saved us in order to make use of our so-called abilities and talents. If God has saved anybody on the account of their ability or their talent, that would not be grace. No grace in that. He saves those that cannot help themselves. And if He saves a person who has some gift or some talent, He's got to rework that gift and that talent before He uses it, because everything's got to redound to His honor and to His glory, not to ours. We can't hang our little selves on the cross and glory in it. He'll have it all. So it concerns our present, and it concerns our future well-being. Concerns hope. Hope! Hope! My God, have you got any hope this morning? Hope! If you hope in yourself, you ain't got no hope. Got to have hope in Him. It's concerning our hope in regard to the future. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. What's your hope built on? He comes with supreme authority. Cannot be any higher authority than God. And God Himself said, "This is my beloved Son. I'm sending Him. He's the Messiah. I anointed Him. I appointed Him. I commissioned Him." He comes with my authority. Oh, the authority of God. Oh, listen. He comes with supreme authority. He comes as an ambassador from God. I seen there on the news the other night where there's appointing, or they anticipated in appointing, a fellow from Massachusetts, I believe, as an ambassador to the country of Mexico. And I heard the man who's received the appointment, or at least he hopes he'll receive the appointment. And he said, "If I'm appointed, I will accept it. To go to Mexico, I'm going to represent the United States of America. I have the authority of the president himself. You don't get no higher than that in this land. I got the authority of the president of the United States to represent him in the sovereign state of Mexico." Our Lord Jesus Christ came as an ambassador for God the Father. And He has that authority and everything that goes with it. And He did not come to settle petty arguments. He did not come to settle silly disputes or to advise upon local and temporary affairs. But with supreme authority from God the Father to show how sinful men can be reconciled unto the Father. That's what He comes to. That's His chief business. That's His main objective. That's His purpose. He's coming and showing how sinful men like you and I can be brought back into fellowship with the God of glory and have a closer and sweeter fellowship than the fellowship that we lost in Adam. God made Adam, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. God provided him with a garden of paradise. Everything in that garden, all was under his control. Gave him authority to name whatever. Anything that passed in front of him. If an elephant came along, and Adam said, "Elephant," God says, "That's your name." If a dog comes along, Adam said, "A dog. That's a dog." God came down in the cool of the day and communed and talked with Adam as a man talks to a man. We lost that in Adam. To be reconciled is to be reconciled over and beyond what we had in the first Adam. We've been separated from the God of glory. Our sins have separated us from God. God being absolute, immaculately holy, can have nothing to do with sin except to hate sin and punish sin. And that He will do. He came, brethren, not to settle silly arguments, petty disputes, or set straight by way of arrangement temporary affairs. But oh, He came. He came to be the reconciler of man to their Maker. To their Maker. We did not make ourselves. It's God that made us. We're far off from God by nature. So far off from God, we'll never come back on our own. If He does not come and get us, if God Himself by His Spirit through the Word does not come where we are and fetch us back, we'll never be brought back because it's not in us to come back. And our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what He came to do, to reconcile us unto God. Bring us to the place that we'll unholster our guns. We'll take our knives and our guns and our weapons of carnal warfare and we'll surrender. We'll lay these weapons at His feet. I'm a rebel. I surrender. I throw my weapons down. I see Your love and Your mercy, Your goodness and Your kindness. Oh, the lily of the valley. I see Him. Oh, listen. How He came to show us how these foul stains of transgression that we've committed against the Most High God can be washed away. These bright scarlet sins might be made as white as the driven snow. He comes to tell us how we may escape the wrath of hell, the doom of hell, how we may attain the inheritance in heaven. He came to cleanse us from our corruptions and our transgressions. He came to give us a new nature, a divine nature. He came to take our hearts of stone and make them hearts of flesh that we might love Him. He came to write His Word upon our hearts. And that He did. Well, that is why. Now, what about the what? What are we to hear? I think I probably covered that ground too. Well, listen now. What are we to hear? Hear ye Him. What are we to hear? Him. That's all they are to hear is Him. Nothing else can be compared to Him. Him. He's history. All history. Everything concerns Him. This is the hymn book. We call this the hymn book. But this is the hymn book. It's all about Him. Hear ye Him. Hear ye Him. Oh, there's so much to hear concerning Him, concerning His person, concerning His doings, His ways, concerning His sufferings, even unto death, concerning the fullness of the revelation that is embodied in Himself. Much to hear. More to hear than we'll probably ever hear. Listen to me now. Greater than the greatest sermon that was ever preached in this world is the Word made flesh. And that's Him. That's the greatest of all. Is the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Hear Him. Hear Him. He's the manifestation of God. He's the brightness of the Father's glory. And the Bible says He's the express image of His person. Would you know God? Would you know God? You must know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He said, "He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father." If you know God, or will know God, desire to know God, you must know Him. You must know Him. Listen, in the character of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see the character of God reflected in the spotless purity of Jesus Christ Himself. We can know nothing of God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. To know God is to know God's Son. Man doesn't honor the Son. He does not honor the Father. He said, "I and the Father, we're one." Ah, the invisible God is in Him. He's the wisdom and power of God. Hear Him who says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I, God in Christ, I will give you rest." All that labor, all that's trying to save themselves by their own good works, all that are doing the best they can to conform themselves to some image of perfection. He said, "All you and your useless labor." Oh, He said, "Come unto Me. Come unto Me. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." I know that's right. I know that His burden is light. And I've had His yoke on me, and I've had His burden on me for 40-some years. And I speak as one to tell you that His burden is light and His yoke is easy. Why will you die when the Lord of life is so nearby? Oh, listen. God was in Christ, the Bible says, reconciling the world unto Himself. Hear Him. Hear Him as He goes beyond the stars and enters into the pearly gates and takes possession of His crown. The crown that He won. How God rewarded Him for His finished work. Divide the spoil with the great. See Him. Hear Him. How He promises that He'd never leave His people alone. Never leave you alone. Oh, some of you is going to get real old. I know some people is 89 years old and some is 90-some years old. I don't know about their spiritual state. But I know, naturally speaking, that some of them at some time, whether it be at noon or at midnight, old people says, I'm alone. My wife has died. My children are far off, and they're old. And here I am, alone. I'm alone like a sparrow in the treetop. Oh, my soul. Hear Him who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're not alone. I'm with you. When you go down into the valley of the shadow of death, hear ye, hear ye. Hear what He has to say. Listen, let me read some verses here and I'm going to quit. Over in the book of Hebrews, about the 9th chapter, I think. Ninth chapter, 24th verse. Listen to what it says. 9th chapter, verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands. That is, it's not a man-made place. Abraham, you know, said, he wasn't looking for a permanent residency. He said, I'm not looking to build a new home out of mortar and bricks and wood and stone. But he said, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's the city I'm looking for. He's not entered into the holy places made with hands. They're just the figures of the true. But into heaven itself, right now, right now, right now. Into heaven itself. Listen, now to do what? To appear in the presence of God. Who for? For us who believe. For us who believe. Now he says, verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But listen now. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared. Hath he appeared to do something. To put away sin. To put away sin. To put away sin. Surely he's going to have some help doing that. You mean all the sin of God's people was laid on Christ and he's going to pay the full, complete debt that sin owes justice by way of the shedding of the blood? Is he going to do it by himself? By himself. No help. Elias and Moses, they're not going to help. When they was talking on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know what they're talking about? They're talking about his exodus. that's talking about when He left this world to take the blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. He'd made atonement. Listen, to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. Then in that 10th chapter, verse 12, but this man, see, this man, God man one person, much God as if He's never man, much man as if He's never God. Amen. Amen. A person. But this man, oh, this man, different from all of the men that ever lived. This man had no sin. All of the men have sin. Most of them are too proud and deceitful, and some of them just out and out ignorant. They won't admit that they're sinners. We've made some mistakes, but we're not sinners. Well, Christ only came for sinners. If your needs is just a mistake, then you can take care of that. He didn't come to settle disputes and family arguments. He didn't come to take up the mistakes of others and correct them, reconstruct them, and all that. Oh, no, He come to save sinners. Sinners! My God, I don't like that name. Why can't you say something else? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever, sat down. Why did he sat down? Why did it say sat down? Because his work was finished. No need standing up. Sit down. Where did he sit? On the right hand of God the Father. The throne of God, in the very presence of God. He sat right there. Listen to me now. By virtue of our union with Him, we sit with Christ on God's right hand. We're with Him, with Christ. Anybody going to pluck us out of His hand? No. Well, I was reading. Verse 14. For by one offering He hath perfected forever even them that are sanctified. Perfected forever and forever and forever and forever. In the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we read there how He, the Lord Jesus Christ, obeyed the Father. We read that in the Gospels. In the epistles written by Paul and some of the others, we read of that obedience as a righteousness imputed to all them that believe on His Son. The Gospels of our Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, gives us a proof of His rising from the dead. He's not here, they say. He's risen. The epistles, the letters, particularly of the Apostle Paul, assures us that He was raised again for our justification. How shall we hear Him? How? He speaks in the Word of Scriptures. I said that before. He speaks through His sent servants. To think that God would send me, that's hard to believe in That's hard to believe that God would send me. I have no education. I have nothing to show. Nothing. In the past, much less in the present. And why? Only God knows. But God must have sent me. God must have sent me. How could I remain here these 40 some years and have you people come and hear me? 40 some years. Huh? I hope all of us haven't been deceived. I trust He sent me. He sent me. Oh, listen. He speaks through His sent servants. How are we to hear Him? Well, three words. With devout reverence. No giggling. No squirming. Being devout. Hearing every word that He says. Oh, we are to hear His word, which comes by sacred authority from God the Father. When shall we hear Him? Evermore. Evermore. Every opportunity that God gives us to hear Him, that's when we hear Him. Hear, the Bible says, and your soul shall live. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Isn't that what it says? My soul, listen to me. I'm as earnest, sincere as I'll ever be. And in earnestness and sincerity and genuineness, motivated by what God has done for me and the assurance that God's given to my poor soul, may God give you grace this morning to hear Him. To hear Him. Listen now. If you and I don't hear Him now speaking in mercy, one day we shall hear Him when He says, depart from me, I never knew you. I leave that with you. May the Lord bless His word. Let's stand.